Again, it's Acts 2, and we'll pick up in verse 46 when we get there. Let me pray for us one more time. Father, again, we're thankful that you've gathered us together here this morning. Lord, we ask that you would come and that you would speak and that you would move in this way. Reveal something about yourself today, this morning, as we look at your word. And as always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room, and we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt or confusion in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way in this place. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you to come and to move and to speak to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, several weeks ago, I started a short little sermon series I called Recapture. And we've been looking at recapturing biblical Christianity and biblical church. We started by looking at recapturing the presence of God. That is, the people of God entertaining the presence of God rather than the church entertaining the people. Then we looked at recapturing biblical love, the people of God and loving each other above all else. Then 2 weeks ago, we looked at recapturing biblical servanthood, serving the way Jesus did and the way he commanded us to. And then last week, we looked at recapturing biblical prayer. Today I'm going to end this series. You can insert wild cheering here if you want. But I could go on and on and on this. There's a lot of things that I could say, hey, we need to recapture, but I'll end the series with today's message. Today I want to talk about recapturing biblical community and biblical human connectedness. Now, normally I start with the scripture verse and we pick it apart and I explain it and we look at the Greek grammar and we do all of that first, right? Today I want to start with the problem and then look at some scriptures to help us understand the problem. So to me, this message feels a little inside out from what I normally do. While other messages in this series may have seemed obvious, like we need to host the presence of God better, we need to be more loving, we need to be serving, and we need to reinvigorate prayer, those seemed obvious. But this one may seem less obvious to you, so let me start by making a case for it, okay? This need to recapture biblical community and biblical human connectedness. I want to start by telling you a short little story. A couple of weeks ago, I attended a webinar by Christ Together, an organization called Christ Together. And the lead presenter in this webinar, he was both a pastor and a psychologist, and he told a really, really interesting story to make a case for a common belief of psychology. Now hang with me, it's going to be all right. So this study that he talked about was a study that they did in East Germany after the fall of the wall. So after communism fell and East Germany was opened up and they went in, they did a study, it was very interesting. They went in and they found an orphanage in East Germany behind the wall. They went into this orphanage and they found a whole wing of this orphanage. There was like 25 or 30 children, and they were all near death. They were all just hanging to life by a thread, and so these doctors and psychologists studied these children to figure out what had gone wrong. And they found that they had plenty of nutrition. They were not malnourished. They had plenty of food and water. They found that they were physically healthy, that they had received the medical care that was necessary, so they were physically healthy. They determined that the conditions in the building were adequate. It was warm enough. It was cool enough as needed. It wasn't that they were overheated or, you know, whatever, not warm enough. They found that all of their physical conditions were being met, and yet the children were all hanging to life by a thread. It was because of the way, the structure within communism, the way they ran the children's home, there was no care and affection for the children. They were all just a number, and they were all treated the same. And so this study reinforced a common psychology belief that the most basic human needs are the need to belong and the need to matter. These are more important for humans and for human flourishing than food and water. It's more important to feel like you belong and that you matter than it is to have adequate physical needs met. Now, Scripture kind of confirms this for us. Stephen put up the first slide there. It should be Genesis 2. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to reference it quick. But psychology says we need to matter and we need to belong. Well, in Genesis it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So God starts out by saying, it's not good, and this isn't man, woman, married, husband, wife thing. It's not good for the human to be alone. So we were created by God to be in relationship with Him and other humans. After all, it makes sense. We're created in His image, right? We're created in the image of God. So we're all created in the image of God. But remember, God is a triune God. God always has fellowship and community within Himself, within the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are always in community together. And then He has created us in that image. And so we share that basic fundamental need for human connectedness and community with God and with each other. Okay? So this idea that we need to reestablish, recapture human community and connectedness is rooted in the way that God has created us. Okay? It's essential to being human. Now, let me share something else related to this. It's from this book called Becoming Whole. I won't even read you the subtitle because it'll offend people in the world we live in today. But from this book is going to make this case, and I'm going to put it up here on the screen for a minute. There's a graph in here I'm going to show you in just a second. From the year 1972 until the present, here in the United States, there has been a steady increase in our standard of living. People have been increasingly making more money and having a better so-called quality of life in terms of finances. But during the same time period, two other disturbing trends have been happening. While income and finances have been steadily increasing, happiness and health have been steadily decreasing. So you can go ahead and put the graph up there. All right. So this starts down here. It says 1972. The black line is our financial income, and you see the financial income slowly increasing. The green line is our happiness and our health indicator. It stays the same and goes down slightly. The more money we've made, the more miserable we've become, as measured by science, right? So it reinforces the old adage that money doesn't buy happiness, right? But here's something else interesting. It's not contained in this graph, but as the financial indicator went up and our happiness stayed the same or went down, our physical health also went down. We became less healthy. Things like heart disease and hypertension and diabetes all became epidemic during the same time that income was going up. Now, think about the story that I just shared with the orphanage. They found all these kids that were near death, even though all of their physical needs had been met. If they had taken those children out of that environment where they were near death and adopted them into loving homes, they would have recovered and been healthy. Our pathway to becoming healthy is reversing this graph. And that's my message today. During this same time period of increasing wealth and standard of living, individualism has increased significantly, especially in the West and in the U.S. It's actually this individualism that fosters and allows the economic growth, but it's also killing us. I want to read a quote from the book. Indeed, individualism is the very foundation of Western civilization in general and of America in particular. At its best, individualism has blessed the world with institutions that uphold human dignity, freedom, and justice for all. But at its core, individualism reflects a fundamentally unbiblical understanding of human beings and human flourishing. And when individualism is combined with Western civilization's mere materialistic worldview, the result is a highly self-centered consumeristic society. Community is breaking down at the local level, too. Americans are withdrawing from engaging with civic organizations, their neighbors, even their own families. Harvard professor Robert Putnam once lamented that Americans are bowling alone. Increasingly, we're also eating alone as nobody is home for dinner. And I was thinking, as I read that quote, and I was thinking about it, you know, when I was a kid growing up, my parents were involved with things like the Moose Lodge. And there were things like the Lions Club, the Elks Club. None of those exist anymore. None of them exist anymore. All those social organizations, civic organizations, they're all gone because of pursuit of this. And that's why we're no longer happy, is we don't get to go be an elk or a lion or a moose, or whatever that is. The pursuit of a better way of life and a standard of living has come at the cost of less human connectedness and, as a result, less happiness. When we are not deeply connected to God and to other people, human flourishing diminishes. We are lonely and unhappy and physically unhealthy. I'll read another quote from this book. This is a case study. It's I'll call it a fictional case study of a woman named Anna. Sadly, Anna's increasingly materialistic lifestyle never satisfies her. Rather, it launches her into a consume-earn treadmill in an exhausting quest for happiness. This treadmill is time-consuming, reducing Anna and her husband's availability for family and other relationships. And Anna is not unique. Research shows that the last two decades of the 20th century, there was a 33% decline in family meals in America and a 45% decline in entertaining friends at home. As Anna's relationships deteriorate, she is likely to become more materialistic, seeking to fill the relational void in her life with more material things. And so the consume-earn treadmill turns faster and faster, increasingly deforming Anna from a mind, affections, will, body, relational creature into a frightfully unhappy, materialistic individual. And the effects also apply to our children. The human child is hardwired to connect. We are hardwired for other people and for moral meaning and openness to the transcendent, that is God. Meeting these basic needs for connection is essential to health and human flourishing, because in recent decades, as we as a society have not been doing a good job of meeting these essential needs, large and growing numbers of children are failing to flourish. All right, enough of the bad news. I painted a picture for you that, as a whole, we lack this human connectedness and community. It's rooted in how God created us, but the fact that we lack it is causing bad things to happen to us, both in our happiness and in our health. So, what can be done about this? Well, Jesus has a solution. He always does, right? And it's in his word. As we have done throughout this series, I want to look at a passage from the early church. Have you noticed that through this whole recapture series, every passage that we've looked at was a scene from the very early church? Even the one time I gave the message from the book of Revelation, it was about the very early church in the city of Ephesus. So we're trying to recapture what it looked like when they started the church right after the days of Jesus. So we get to Acts 2, verses 46 and 47. Stephen, you can put those up there. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Notice how it says they gathered together as the church every day. Now, this was partly because of the persecution and the fact that they weren't welcome in some of the public places that they had been before. They were now known as Christians, and so they were being persecuted. They weren't always welcome, and so they had to gather as the body of Christ separately, but they gathered daily. But here's the thing to consider. They had the bandwidth to do it. They had the bandwidth to live their lives in a way so they could gather every day. You see, they were mostly subsistence farmers. They weren't chasing their tails for a better way of life. This level of church meeting daily was easier for them because they already lived in a more communal lifestyle. They didn't have the individualism that we do. We're plagued by this individualism, the book pointed out. They lived in a very communal way already. Much more biblical. But they were also excited to be together in the name of Jesus. It says, every day they met in the temple courts. The area they met in was known as Solomon's Colonnade, and it was on the east side of the outer court. Now, the reason they probably met there is they would have no longer been allowed into the inner part of the temple. Because they were now Christians, the Jewish leaders would have kept them from coming into the temple as they were accustomed to. So they met together in this area outside called Solomon's Colonnade. But then it says they also met in homes to eat. Now, they weren't just getting together for communion. Some people would say, well, it was just for communion. No, no. They were eating their meals together every day. Stephen, I think the next slide is the NASB. A different translation of the Bible. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness. So they were getting together every single day in homes to eat together, to have meals together. And then the next one should be the NLT. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, so they had communion, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They were getting together every day to eat their meals and take communion. Now, obviously, they couldn't take communion at the temple because the Jewish leaders would have never allowed that. And then look at verse 47. Verse 47 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the church is growing. The Lord is adding to their number daily. Because people need community and connectedness, as I already established, this is probably what drew the people to the early church, the community and the fellowship that was happening. We are so buried under the busyness of our lives, we can't even imagine that. We can't imagine having the time and the bandwidth for social and religious gatherings anymore, let alone every day. People can barely find the time to get to church. Says that they were praising God, so there was some worship happening in their gathering. And it says they enjoyed the favor of all the people. When was the last time you experienced something like that? When was the last time you could say that you experienced the favor of all the people? I'm getting to that. Remember at the beginning I said psychology agrees that the two most basic human needs are the need to belong and the need to matter. More so than food and water. These things are happening right here in these scenes that we're seeing in the early church. This may well be the reason why that church grew every day. We often want to attribute that growth in the early church to the signs and wonders that were happening. But we tend to want to think that and make that attribution only because we have no ability to understand this level of community and connectedness. We tend to choose the faster, easier option of miracles because it just fits our paradigm better. And relationships take longer to develop and they're too hard for us and we don't have the time. So it's easy for us to think, oh, they did a few miracles, got a few people healed, the church grew. No, the church grew because they got together every day in their homes and they ate together. That's why the church grew. It met a more fundamental human need. The busyness of our lives, again, makes it nearly impossible for us to even imagine doing this, right? Think about it. I'm going to get together with other brothers and sisters in Christ every single day. Most of you are probably just stressed out thinking about that. The closest the church comes, the church should be well positioned to be able to meet this basic need of feeling like I belong and feeling like I matter. That need is put in us by Christ, and then Christ made the church to meet the need, right? But the closest most churches come are some small groups. But it's not quite the same because most of those church small groups are for some other purpose. They're for a Bible study or a certain kind of curriculum, which is fine, but often lack this level of human connection that we need. Or the small groups are simply implemented as a church growth technique. There have been some churches in modern history here in the U.S. that started on this model of meeting together daily in homes, and those churches grew wildly, and so that everyone else just tried to copy it as a church growth method. But they missed what the underlying principle was, and that is that we're created in the image of God, and we have to have the same fellowship that He has. So you can't just implement a small group as a church growth strategy. You have to understand that it's fundamental to humanness. There's another thing happening in the world. You've probably heard me mention it before. It's been given the name disciple-making movements. A number of theologians and missionaries and anthropologists have studied the church globally to see where the church is growing the fastest. And they've identified places like China and Iran where the church is growing extremely rapid, exponentially. And they studied why. Why is the church growing so fast in those areas? And they found this. They found people meeting daily in homes more about the community and the fellowship than about Bible study or a church growth technique. This basic principle that we see in these two verses is what is causing the church to grow rapidly in the places that it is growing. So if we want to recapture both biblical church and biblical Christianity, then we need to understand that human flourishing is a part of that. That's what this book, Becoming Whole, it's really a book about human flourishing. And as we serve and act as missionaries in Africa, we want people to flourish and to be whole and to be well. And so we're reading this book and studying this book as a way to be better about helping people. And so that's why at the end of this coming week, Wednesday or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm having some meetings here in the church with other missionaries to discuss this book and how we can help people become more whole and not just help them financially or economically. Now, in the COVID world that we live in, this, of course, has become much more complicated. COVID has certainly exacerbated our lack of human connectedness and human relationship. Last Sunday, as Amy mentioned a minute ago, we had our two kids and several other people the same ages as our kids over to our house for a game day. We just played board games. And wow, did we have fun. Like, I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. And laughing is really healthy. They say a two-minute laugh is as good for you as like a 10-minute run. And there was just seven of us, so it was safe in the world of COVID, but we just had a few people over, and we just played board games. We didn't get all religious and do a Bible study or whatever. We just played board games, and wow, was it fun. It fueled us through the whole week because we need that. As humans, we need that human connectedness. Now, here are a few other things to consider, and then I'll wrap up. So often in the world that we live in, we choose to prioritize the busyness and the better way of life in that graph, so then we are then too tired for the human connectedness. But if we prioritize the human connection first, we will actually feel better and be less tired. Even the introverts in the room need human connection. It's simply the way that God has made us. When we choose the busyness, the better way of life, the higher standard of living, it's actually a form of rebellion against God. We're ignoring the way God has created us. We're running roughshod over his creation and trying to do it our own way. Now, of course, there is always a place for silence and solitude. Those are great spiritual disciplines. I encourage people to practice silence and solitude as spiritual disciplines. But I'm talking like as a general way of life, as we live our life, we have to recapture human connectedness and community. It's essential to our well-being as humans. And then also, people often leave a church because they said they never felt like they belonged or they mattered. As people have left the church over the years, I hear those two things more than any other. And psychology says that those are fundamental to human existence and human flourishing. So people come to a church looking to get the basic human needs met, and they don't. They don't feel like they matter, they don't feel like they fit in, and so they leave the church because they still feel miserable. And the church can only go so far. We each, as individual believers, need to do our part to connect with others, understanding how essential it is to our human flourishing. It's not just something we do because it's a religious thing, oh, we're going to get together with some churchy people. No. It's essential to my well-being as a human. For the good of our own well-being and for the good of the church, we must seek this. You know, and I was thinking about this morning as we did the missions update. I was thinking as we go to Africa and do our missions work there, we see this principle so much more in effect. People there will never choose the busyness first. They'll always choose the communal, tribal sense of things first. They'll always come together as a people, as a group, first before they just go pursue busyness and a better way of life. It's often why the people that we meet there, they may appear to us to be poor, but they're much happier than we are. Because often our perception of what poverty is really just culture. That's a fundamental thing you got to understand if you're going to help people that are less privileged. Often what we perceive to be poverty is just culture. So how do we move forward? As COVID continues to subside, We as a people need to press into and lean into this idea that we need to recapture biblical community and biblical human connectedness. I do hope that as COVID continues to subside, we'll be able to start, I'm going to call them small groups, even though I just kind of use that term in a negative way, start some small groups, but for the point of human connectedness. The reason I wanted to give this message today is because we all need to plan and prepare for that. COVID is going to begin to wind down, right? And then we're going to need to plan our lives and strategize our lives a little bit different, ramp down some of the busyness, and begin to put as a priority this understanding that as a human being, I need a lot more connectedness with other people and with Him. So before we can even start any kind of community groups, we have to adjust our life to make room for that and understand how important it is. And by this, I'm talking like outside of our families. The thing that COVID has done, COVID has forced us to cocoon with our own family, which is fine and it's been good. It's led to some quality family time. But as COVID subsides, we need to get out from the cocoon and reestablish deep human connections with other people. And we'll find that we're happier and we'll actually get healthier as we do it. Amen? All right. I'll invite the worship team back up.